from the Celtics, do I want to play Embiid with Philly? No, I do not. I want to
avoid I guess that's where I was getting at.
That big man at all costs. However, I don't think that they have a chance to beat the Celtics in a seven-game series, even with Embiid coming off three-plus months off. And who knows how long it's going to take him to get back into form. I think Philly's probably going to have to restart everything for next year. But who knows where they'll land. Like, that's the thing about right now, this whole play-in race. Like, Indiana, Philadelphia, and Miami are kind of fighting. I think Chicago and Atlanta are locked in at 9, 10, 10, 9, whatever you want to say. But it's going to be interesting to see, you know, and then who's going to win. If it's Miami, Philadelphia, I'd be fascinated to see who the Celtics fans would want to face and if it was down to those two.
The big girls love that. Chicks love the last shot opportunity. Somebody give me a napkin so I can wipe my mouth.
All right, another episode of the Cedric Maxwell Podcast. I am Joseph Pavone. He is, of course, Cedric Maxwell. We got a special guest back on the podcast. He's Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe, also one-third of the Big 3 NBA Podcast, Big NBA 3 Podcast. Which one is it, Gary? One of those, right? How's it going?
It's just the Big 3, Joseph.
No, nah, there's NBA in there somewhere, no?
The Big 3 NBA Podcast.
All right.
Man, that Boston public school education let you down, man.
Hey, listen, Gary, yo, don't even start. I forgot. Oh, we got a West Coast cat in here. I forgot, Max. You know how he is. Call me out already. All right, well, let's get into this damn road trip because they didn't get off to the right note with the Celtics team out in Atlanta. Two games, 2 days in between. Looks like they could use it too, Gary. What did you make of the loss? I know time has passed now, and it's in the rearview mirror, but anything about the Celtics blowing a 30-point lead that has you thinking differently about this team at the tail end of the regular season?
Yeah, it looked like – I mean, they were so good in those first 13 minutes. I mean, they scored 49 points. They were clowning. The crowd was, what the hell? Everybody was quiet. Then it was 68-38. I'm like, okay. Then the last 4 minutes of the second quarter, to me, is where they lost the game. Mm-hmm. Atlanta scored 18 points. I mean, that's really hard to do, is allow 18 points in four damn minutes, and the Celtics did that. They just took their foot completely off the gas. They hit two shots in the last 4 minutes, allowed an 18. And when you're down 30 and you go to the half down 18, you feel like you've done something. Mm-hmm. So Atlanta went to the break with all the momentum. Then I remember the first play of the third quarter, it was a simple play where DeAndre Hunter curled off the screen, got a pass wide open and dunked it. And I was like, yeah, the Celtics ain't locked in. Like, that was, and it was a 16-point game. You're like, yeah, this is about to be a battle. And it was shades of old, bad offense, lazy defense, not getting back. The Atlanta shooters getting hot. Some dude named Vic Krejci, you know.
Two-way player on a two-way.
On a two-way, getting steals, hitting threes off the break. And it was just – it was embarrassing. You can't lose that game. You can't. Like, you can't – you can – it's different than the 20-point lead. I get it. 30-point lead, nah, man. Like – they got to really review, and I get it. They slipped. Joe started to play some really whack. He put Jaden Springer in to start the fourth. It was like, are you trying not? Like, I get it, you're trying stuff, but y'all could lose this game. It's not, you know, like, why? And the kid tried. He did okay. He had an open three that he missed that probably would have changed the game. But it was just.
Well, wait, man. The game. First of all, the game shouldn't have been that close. Let's put it in proper perspective.
Right. And they were halfway through that deficit.
Well, that, and you also had, you didn't have your two main guards playing the game.
Have Trae Young.
Well, that
or Jalen Johnson.
But I'm talking about two of your best defenders. They did not play those defenders. And I'm not giving them any excuses. But what I did see, which bothered me, was more so of watching Wesley Matthews Jr., what he did to Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum was consumed that he was going to beat him one-on-one. And that's when the ball stopped moving. And when the ball stopped moving, the Celtics never involved anybody else. Porzingis wasn't involved in the game. Jason Tatum was consumed that he was going to beat this guy one-on-one. And they let Matthews Jr. beat the hell out of him. Tatum was trying to go through him with the body, and he kept hitting him and hitting him. And then Brown got the ball. Everybody was watching on the Celtics team. And if they're going to lose a championship, it will be because of these reasons, of them not believing that other guys can get involved. But I also say, when you did not have White and you did not have your other point guard handling the basketball, moving it around, being facilitators, it looked like a completely different offense in that second half.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the physicality as well, man. That leads to my next question. I mean, does that part of this scare you a bit? I mean, obviously, the Celtics team, I mean, they just snapped another winning streak that was hitting double digits, coming off one that, you know, they did that happen after the All-Star break. So, obviously, it's not like the sky is falling. But I just feel like when you got guys in the middle, you know, when the physicality is taken up a notch, you know, they kind of fold in those situations,
physicality.
Right? Physicality? If you're looking at the criteria of a loss.
Wait. What physicality, other than the one guy out there, it was Wesley Matthews Jr.
Yeah, you mentioned him, Wesley Matthews.
Nobody was being physical out there with Porzingis.
What about the former Celtic Bruno Fernando? He was getting his.
Bruno Fernando did a great job rebounding the basketball. Al Horford looked like he was out of his element rebounding the basketball. They gave up second chance opportunities. They gave up steals. The one steal in the backcourt, I think, bothered me more than anything, and that's when they tried to throw the ball inbound to Brown. It was stolen, and then the dude knocks down the three, and it was never any madness. Now, what I did think, and Gary, I have to ask you this, Bogdanović did not get a chance at all. He reached out to shake Jaylen Brown's hand, and Jaylen just kind of walked away. Was that true?
I didn't see that. But Bogdanović talks a lot of mess, and he was talking a lot of mess throughout the game, even before when it was a 30-point lead, because he, you know, he's one of those, oh, I got fouled, oh, like, so he took pleasure. And then what about when DeJounte Murray took that three and started basically strolling in front of the Celtic bench before the ball went in? Like, did you notice that, Max?
Like, I'm sorry.
Only Steph does that in the
new NBA. What you gonna do about it?
Yeah, like I got to give him props because the ball hadn't gone in yet. He knew it was going in, and he started stepping like a kappa right in front of right in front of the Celtics bench. To me,
which was a ballsy shot, by the way.
Yeah, Gary. That was disrespectful in itself. Yeah. From a team that's 32-39, but you know what? You asked for it. You let them come back in the game. I understand, Max, about the physicality. Wes Matthews guarded Tatum well. Remember in the playoffs when he was with Milwaukee?
The Bucks, right?
Yeah, they let him go at Tatum, and Tatum got in his head and was, oh, I'm going to take care of you, and I'm going to beat you. And then Tatum, like, should have attacked the rim more. He didn't. Jaylen Brown, I don't know what he was doing on that final shot where he took that like 27-foot three on the right. You're like, it's hero ball. That's the stuff that they avoided. Like,
well, tell me how dumb Atlanta was when they got the rebound, they hit by one, and they take a three and the shot.
Yeah, that was a ballsy shot too. But
That wasn't a ballsy shot.
Atlanta got nothing to lose. They about to be 10.
Yeah, man.
They got nothing to lose. He went for the dagger.
It was a dumb shot,
but it went in.
That's not a dagger.
He was feeling it.
I talked to Dominique about it. He said, why the hell? He said, we got lucky. We took a shot at the end of the game.
Celtics
get the rebound.
But that just shows you the respect that they don't have for the Celtics, obviously.
I don't think it was respect. I just think it was a dumbass play. I ain't seen no respect and the disrespect.
I just feel like he's that kind of guy, though. He won't take a shot like that. He'll bet on himself.
He did not think about what the hell he was doing, because I said it. my broadcast partner at the time said, it's like, what? Why? And I talked to Dominique after the game, and he said, I couldn't believe we took that shot. We're ahead by one, and all we got to do is freeze the ball now. We take a three. Yeah, that was a dagger, but it shouldn't even – you should have shot free throws instead. But anyway, I think the biggest thing about it is how are the Celtics going to bounce back tonight?
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's a tournament season or the fight for a playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into serious cash. Testing my skills on Prize Picks this season is the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $1,000 with just a few taps. Prize Picks is really simple to play, and I can make my picks and submit my entry in less than 60 seconds. Download the app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Use the code CLNS for the first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Do they bounce back? Do they destroy
Atlanta? I think it's one of the biggest games of the season. Not for anything with the standings, but just how they respond. Are they mad? They should be mad. Right. They were embarrassed. People have been talking about them now for 3 days about, well, it's old Celtics back. What's wrong with the Celtics? Are they – this is what happens. They don't have the killer instinct. Look at their offense in the fourth quarter. Look how it's stagnant. Look how nothing happens. Look at Mazzulla. He didn't call enough timeout. All the little stuff that was put away, swept away by this great record is now creeping back. And this is the Atlanta Hawks without Trey. Like, you're not playing a great team. You're playing a team that's basically playing out the string, that's likely going to be the 10th seed and have to play on the road, have to win two road games just to make the playoffs to play the Celtics. And you're playing somewhere, Max, where you have the most fans.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you're not playing a tough road atmosphere. The only time they got excited is when it got close. The Atlanta fans were not saying nothing.
They were stick and fork him. They were dumb. Now, let me ask you, sidebar, Josue. We got to ask them the sidebar. Sidebar is, what happened when you asked your good buddy Joe Mazzulla about what happened? What was your question? Because I didn't get a chance to. Because I know you asked.
Nothing happened after this game. He was like, I said, basically, what happened at the end of the second quarter? That's when y'all lost the game. Like, y'all lost the game in the second half, in the third quarter, but 18-6, and they looked inept, and you just allowed them to put up 18 points, and you don't make no adjustments. Max, what adjustments did they make from the first half to the second half?
I don't think that they made – obviously, they make
– No. Settle.
The one I looked at was, I think, in the third quarter, when the lead start going down, when people say, call a timeout. I thought – that Joe Mazzulla at that time was sending a message to the guys on the floor. Guys, play out of this shit. You know, you got to lead. You can beat this team if you want to. Now, if you want to play stupid as hell, I'm going to let you embarrass yourself. That might have been a message to his team. Because
I'm not going to jump about the timeouts. Yeah, I'm not going to jump him about, he didn't call enough timeouts. Mm-hmm. There just probably should have been some more adjustments. Obviously, Atlanta played much more physical defensively in the second half. 15 offensive rebounds.
Yeah, I was it.
Clint Capella and Bruno Fernando just giving them second chances. And then their shooters got hot. Bogdanović got us off to a slow start. Vic Krejci.
Matthews.
Yeah, all of a sudden they're hitting shots that they didn't hit. Peyton Pritchard misses two free throws. You never see that happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just stuff. Wacky stuff, but when you cheat the game like that, you start taking 30 footers because you try to entertain the crowd. You know, you want a bunch of oohs and ahs. Oh, let me just take this 30 footer. We're up 30, so what? That's what comes back in the basketball gods, and people think, well, that's not true. That'd be happening. There's some prices to pay in when you start messing around with the game like that, and the Celtics paid that price.
When you here's how it goes. You fuck with the game, the game's gonna fuck with you. And that's what happened in that segment where you talk about. They did. They wanted the oohs. They wanted the ahs. They were throwing behind the back passes. They were showboating. And then they did not know how to change gears. They could have just beat this team to death just going to the free throw line. But they wanted to shoot the threes. They wanted to profile. They wanted to style. Yeah. So hopefully, I'm trying to not to, and here I am, I'm trying not to put too much credit in this game. But I'm like you. I believe exactly what you're saying when you say this is a huge game tonight from a psychological standpoint. There are a bunch of fans out who've already said, I knew you guys going to beat the hell out of us tomorrow. I know you're going to beat us. You're going to beat us. You're going to beat us. Well, are the Celtics going to come out and put their big boy shoes on and run away with this game? We'll see if that happens.
Absolutely. And Gary, the latest on Jrue Holiday, I mean, obviously a bit of concern level going up, you know, the amount of games he's missed, not a whole lot of games left in the regular season, but he did return to practice this week on the road. What's the latest on Jrue and how's the shoulder doing?
I think he's going to play on Thursday night against the Hawks. It looks like he's going to play and Derek White will return to the lineup. So they'll have, I think for the first time in maybe 3 weeks, almost 3 weeks, they'll have their original, probably the playoff starting lineup, you would say, with Tatum, Brown, White, Holiday, and Porzingis. Yeah, Holiday's getting back to normal. You know, that shoulder injury kind of took him back a little bit, but he's been working out. He practiced in full on Wednesday. He participated in a shoot-around on Monday, so he probably could have played Monday night, but they wanted to get him through a full practice. They're being cautious with him. So, yeah, I don't think injuries will be an issue. They'll have their full roster, so we can't say, oh, well, they didn't have White. They didn't have Holiday. Like, no. This is your full team.
Who talks like that?
All these people that are playing injuries as an excuse.
Like that.
You was up 68-38. You have to win the game. You have to win that game. You cannot lose a third. It cannot be matter of fact. 20-point, I can understand. But I just said before, 18-6 to end the half, 19-4 to begin the third quarter, 37-10 against that team, a team without its best player.
Yeah, you're right. I cannot deny what you're saying. I think it's as true as can be. But we know during the season that this team, and I've said this to a couple other people, and they're going to have to get that pressure bubble away from them. How do they do that? That's going to be the big thing with this team. If they're going to win a championship, we're going to find out early in the playoffs how this team goes out and they perform. I think if they have their top seven, top eight guys, I think they're going to be fine. But it's going to be a key, like you're saying tonight, you don't want slippage. And what you saw the other day was slippage defensively and offensively. And really, I wanted to say it was more in their heads because they were so much better than Atlanta. And I agree with Gary totally, is that they were looking for the oohs and ahs. They wanted the judges, you know, to give them a 10 for every shot. Just beat the hell out of this team and then go home. So I totally agree with what you're saying.
Absolutely. All right, Gary, I got to ask you about this, man. I mean, Max and I talked about it briefly before we hit record, but I want to get your take on this. And that's what's happening down in Philly with Joel Embiid. Now, it's like Nick Nurse says that they're gonna try to get him back into the lineup before the end of the season, prep him up going into the playoffs. But what are you expecting from the 76ers team, especially with the way things are, trying to integrate far from 100% Joel Embiid back into the folds? You know, Nick Nurse, obviously, in the organization are hopeful, but what are the chances of Philly of making this thing a success going into the playoffs? And is that a realistic, you know, possibility, first round? What do you think is in the cards for Philly right now?
Yeah, I think that Philly is a team that I don't think they have put any fear in anybody as they are now. But I think with Embiid, they can win a couple of playoff games. I don't know if comparing them to last year's team, I just don't think they were playing good ball when Embiid got hurt. But I just never have believed wholeheartedly in this team. You know, I like Tyrese Maxey, but Tobias Harris is still straight up, like, he's like the get off the bus. He gets off the bus. You look, oh man, that dude look like he can hoop. Oh my God. And then he'll get, you know, 2 for 18 from the field. Like, I just have no faith in the consistency of Tobias Harris. Kelly Oubre, flaky as can be.
Man, Kyle he had a lot Lowry. To say that his officials
did. Kyle Lowry, I guess he's playing well with them. Can you ride Kyle Lowry through the playoffs? Like, and I'm not saying Philly can't, you know, if I'm the Celtics, do I want to play Embiid with Philly? No, I do not. I want to avoid
that's where I was getting at.
That big man at all costs. However, I don't think that they got a chance to beat the Celtics in a seven-game series, even with Embiid coming off three-plus months off. And who knows how long it's going to take him to get back into form. I think Philly's probably going to have to restart everything for next year. But who knows where they'll land. Like, that's the thing about right now, this whole play-in race. Like, Indiana, Philadelphia, and Miami are kind of fighting. I think Chicago and Atlanta are locked in at 9-10, 10-9, whatever you want to say. But it's going to be interesting to see, you know, and then who's going to win. If it's Miami, Philadelphia, I'd be fascinated to see who the Celtic fans would want to face and if it was down to those two. Indiana, I don't think they're playing as well as they did earlier in the season. But they're a dangerous opponent. They've already beaten the Celtics twice this year. You know, is Miami still got bite left? I mean, they lost by 21 points at home to the Warriors the other night. Like, I know they've been injured, but it's getting to the point with Miami where they're going to flip the switch. Like, and they did last year. Can you do that again? You know, it's 10 games left. They still got dudes out. Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson. Like, it's not like, okay, we've been messing with y'all for 4 months. Now, here's our lineup. Everybody suddenly got healthy. Here we go. We're about to put this together. Like, they're literally still got guys out. So, is Miami to be really feared? I mean, obviously, I think Celtics fans fear Miami because of Eric Spoelstra against Joe Mazzulla, the greatness of Jimmy Butler when he's right. So, I don't think it's going to be any easy first-round opponent, even if it's Indiana, Philadelphia, or – I'm not saying – like, I know Max, like, man, we'll smash all them fools, but that's the look on his face. Max is like, man, that's like us playing the 84-7 playing against the Cavaliers back then. Like, what you talking about, Gary?
That's like playing how he sees it in his head.
Playing against the New Jersey Nets. What are you talking about, fool? I know Max is doubtful, but I think it'll be an interesting first-round series.
All right, Gary, I have a question. Since you said the thing about get off the bus and look like a guy can play, I'm curious. I've never asked you this question. How would you describe your game when you played back in the day?
Oh, who's the comp? You want the comp?
No, I want to know. I want to know how you would describe your game.
I wasn't a very good. I was like a undersized, chunky point guard. Like I would say Khalid El-Amin or something like that.
Make still sound better, Gary. Give me a call. Give me a player.
No, I'm just saying. Like I had point guard skills, but I didn't go through a growth spurt, so I was short. But I could hoop. I could shoot. I could dribble, I could shoot, but I wasn't fast. Like, if you put some fast dude on me, I couldn't, you know, I was not, he was going to, he was getting to the rack. You put Derrick Rose against me, you put Tyrese Maxey against me.
Gary was in he was in the bubble. You guys had a media game, and man, Gary still, he had a couple spin moves, you know what I mean? Obviously, we're talking years ago.
During the finals in 19. I turned myself, I'm a rebounder, and I'm Al Horford at this point. Like, I'm doing the little things, I'm passing out. Like, I ain't putting my scoring ability as I know my role. I'm Luke Kornet, tipping in, rebound. Lace some wood in the paint. Like, that's me. I know my role. I am not trying to
shoot. I just want to know, because you said getting off the bus guy. We've seen
But come on, Becky. If you saw me get off the bus, you'd be you'd be laughing like you were James Worthy. You see me get off the bus like, that's who we're playing? Yeah. Oh, man, Max, good.
Who are you picking, Gary or Tobias Harris? Come on.
Are you serious right now?
No, man, don't do that.
And this is no knock to Gary, but what I've been saying, hey, who's this little fat guy going to guard over here?
Exactly.
Who is he going to guard? Are you serious? Oh, man.
Exactly. Who I'm going to stick?
I just wanted to know, because we've never talked. I've seen Joe Swaya play a little bit and got a little game.
I was going to say, finish that sentence, Max. Finish that sentence.
No, you got a little game. We got some passing skills and, you know. Now, who surprised me, and I love him to death, but A. Sherrod?
What? He can't play? He can't play.
A. Sherrod can't play.
I was like, which direction you going with this?
He ain't no baller. He ain't no baller. He got the look.
Oh, damn.
He's strange. That ain't right, man. Why
I know, man. He ain't even here.
Dude, I saw him play. I'm like, I'm looking for a little, like, something he had that was. It's right to have that. He didn't have all that. He didn't have none of that. I ain't mad. And this just goes to show every black guy can't play. You know, that's just, you know, that's how that works out. You know, you go to a gym and you say,
don't let the stereotype. Don't let that stereotype get out.
I'm going to take this black guy right here. And you're going, damn, dude, that should have took the white guy, because you came up with all. How many times you walked into a gym, you see a guy who's dressed the part, who has on the has all the gear, has the great shoes on, wristbands, you know, everything tied up.
He picked second or third.
Max, you got his little powder like LeBron.
Wristband on.
Dude can't play dead. So, yeah, I just wanted to know. I'm just kicking it out. You know, if y'all want to, you know, wrap me out and say, hey, Sherrod, I tell you what, we'll go out and we'll film A. Sherrod, and you tell me then.
Oh,
what
don't
you
do that. We're not doing that.
Oh, man. You're talking about a CLNS media game? We could do that. Let's do that this summer. I'm down.
You know who probably will be a killer? Probably Bobby.
Bobby
knows the game. I don't know if he can play, but Bobby seems like he can, you know, he's tall.
He's got a jump shot. I shot around Bobby before. I never played a full game with him, but we shot around before.
I think tonight is going to tell a big story about what this Celtic team is all about. If you have pride, you come back and kick these guys' asses.
Yeah, all right, guys, real quick. Last question. I want to hear y'all take on this. Iowa's Caitlin Clark just offered $5 million from Ice Cube to join the Big Three. Real quick, what do you guys take on it?
Take the money, girl. Take the money.
Gary, what do you think?
Yeah, $5 million?
That's a win-win.
And they tell her she can play WNBA? Why not?
Take the money, but here's what I'll say to you, girl.
That's a win-win for the Big Three, too.
But here's what I'll say to you, girl. Watch out, because there's some brothers out there be after your ass. If no, you make them $5 million. They're gonna test you.
They don't want to be able to highlight
you.
And the WNBA. I mean, the Big Three. People talk about, oh, it's random. Like, the Big Three's had women coaches: Nancy Lieberman, Lisa Leslie. So I mean, they've kind of broken some ground here. I mean,
we talking about players, though, man.
Yeah, but they haven't had a female player.
We talking about somebody who's in her prime, going up against some guys who aren't in their prime, to see how one of the best women shooters of all time would perform in a league that has guys who are probably more so over the hill, wouldn't you say? Over the hill, and some great players who have been in there, but there's a core of guys in there that still are highly skilled, but they would try to go at her ass and they would test her on every possession.
Agreed.
I'd love to see it. I think it'll bring a brand new fan base. You know, obviously, you know, fans of NCAA and WNBA would watch. I think it would be a huge success for both sides. So hopefully it happens. But with that, we wrap up this episode of the Cedric Maxwell Podcast. He is Gary Washburn. Gary, always a blast with you on the show. Check out his work, of course, on the Boston Globe, bostonglobe.com, on Twitter, and check out his podcast here on the CLNS Media Network. He is Cedric Maxwell. I'm Joseph Pavone. We'll check you guys out next week.